Welcome to the XYZ Experiment podcast. Fiona here. I've got Luke and Dash with me today. And today I want to talk about the perfume industry. I'm really interested to know about the generations wearing perfume because I believe that with the Gen Zs and with the millennials, that the perfume industry has gone absolutely bonkers throughout the world. Bonkers. In Australia alone, it's a $1.25 billion industry. So it's, and I believe it's the fastest growing industry within the beauty industry is perfumes. And what really got me thinking about it was Mecca, which is an Australian branded beauty clinic here. It opened up a mega store, and I mean a mega store in the middle of the CBD. And I believe it's one of the biggest beauty stores within the Southern Hemisphere. And I went to the opening of it, it was pretty fabulous. And they have got an entire floor of just perfumes, like entire floor.
And the males and females.
Males and females. And the thing is that it seems to be very big in men as well as women. So it's not just a woman-driven or any sex, I should say, driven industry. But their perfumes there, like the perfumes are like, they're over $100. A lot of them are over $200 and $300. And so I was just wondering what your experience is of wearing colognes or perfumes. Do you wear it? Sort of why? What does it mean to you? I'm very interested in it.
It's a really interesting one. And until you said it, I didn't necessarily think that if you had told me that and said true or false, I would have said false, actually. I wouldn't have thought that was the case. In terms of wearing cologne, I did not wear cologne until like 3 years ago. Genuinely not something that was of any interest or focus of mine. I didn't think that would really impact anything, so I did not. And 3 years ago, and I know it's 3 years ago because I'm being mindful of how much I use the bottle, I was gifted a cologne by a friend of mine who worked at Aesop, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Aesop. Yeah.
Exceptional employee. They ended up winning some products and one of them was gifted to me. And it's really funny because I wear it now pretty frequently. And thinking of every kind of superficial aspect of me, whether it's my clothes, my hairstyle, facial hairstyle, jewelry, that is consistently the only thing that I get complimented on.
Really?
Interesting.
Yeah, it is. Wow, that's a really nice, you smell really good.
Did you know that smell is the number one sense for memory recall over every other sense in your body? Smell's number one. And so it's interesting because with your smell, it could be that's almost a signature scent for you that people know that's Luke.
You're going to have to keep buying it.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that because the process of selecting a cologne really is personality-centered.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really, really interesting.
Do you wear the same one all the time or do you have a couple that you might use?
Like, honestly, I would say I'm probably a bit priced out of the idea of having multiple colognes.
Yes.
The one that I have is the only one that I wear. But I think it's really interesting. And I think I've seen it as well with things like jewelry.
Yes.
I feel like jewelry has made a real comeback, particularly with men. I see a lot more like rings and necklaces than maybe like 5-10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard to kind of describe. I feel like I've got a little bit of a finger on the pulse in terms of influences. And so I can't think of any specific ones that come to mind that pushed this kind of more into cultural relevancy, but as just like an observer, I've definitely seen a little bit more of a focus on things like scents in like my circle at least.
I associate scents quite a lot with people. So my husband, there's a particular scent that he used to wear when we were dating, and when I smell it, it gives me the most wondrous memories, like memories. I really love it. I think it was like a cologne or a deodorant, which he doesn't wear anymore. But if he did, oh, I love it. And then my grandmother, her perfume, if I ever smell it, and it's a very, very old, old-fashioned perfume, But if I ever smell that smell, I am immediately transported back to my grandma's house. Like, I can't tell you how strong that memory is. And then another memory is a friend of mine wears a Van Cleef perfume, which is very strong, but it's the most divine scent. I wish I could wear it, but it's her signature perfume. And when she's been in my car, the perfume transfers onto the seatbelt. And so I can hop into the car and I can smell her on the passenger seatbelt. And I love it. I know that's Louise, that she's been sitting in my car with her perfume on. Yeah. And so I have a lot of friends who have a signature scent. That's why I'm just thinking people might associate that with you, Luke, that immediately transports me back to people.
I think that might be the case. That just got me thinking. Like, I know that we could obviously look at trends in terms of like cultural relevancy, sales of things like perfumes. Has the meaning behind wearing it changed? Like the purpose of it changed, do you think?
I don't know.
I'm not sure that like this, and I'm not saying that this is a particular generation, but when people have sensed that smell nice, it is more about smelling nice and about whether or not you can attribute it to their personality as opposed to being something around like status. Like, I don't smell someone and think, oh, that's them trying to smell wealthy or that's them trying to smell a certain type of way. Was that ever the case?
I'm not sure.
I think so. So, okay, I'll tell you a story.
Yeah, Let's hear the
from my childhood, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this happened to you, Luke. When I was in high school, so I remember very clearly, it would probably even started grade 5 or 6, right? Impulse and what was it, Lynx. Mm-hmm. Deodorants for men, Impulse for women, were like big things. And so it was very cool to have that and you'd spray yourself at like every chance you could get. Now, my mum was like, what is this ridiculous smell? Okay. So she was a little bit, do not wear that.
Yeah.
So she was very pro deodorant, but just do a normal roll-on deodorant that will make sure you don't have body odor. But she said to me, wear perfume. Do not wear that cheap spray on deodorant.
Spray. Yeah.
So then she got me a perfume, but it was probably a perfume that was a little bit old for my age group. Quite sweet, sickly smelling. That's what I remember it as. And I would wear that and feel so uncool because I wasn't wearing Impulse. And then on one of my birthdays, one of my friends gifted me an Impulse.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So because they were like, well, you don't have one. Here you go. Which I just think is hilarious. But now I do wear perfumes quite a bit. And I was very influenced by magazines.
Mm-hmm.
So magazines growing up, they would put like almost a sample of that perfume that you could rip away the strip
and
rub your wrist on it to like get a sample of what it was. And so when I was in my 20s, my signature perfume was J'adore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I loved it. I wore it for my wedding day. Anytime we were traveling, we would buy it duty free because it was expensive and we didn't have any money. And then, so that was my special occasion perfume. And then I bought, I think, CK1 as my just everyday perfume, but just from like the chemist warehouse when it was on sale. And because it was just such a, but like the advertising for it, as soon as they started using celebrities, there was just an image of this beautiful celebrity draped almost like the same bottle of J'adore. And I just was like, sold.
Oh, that's
Charlize Theron.
Yeah, right. She's beautiful in that. Yeah. Because you know the first celebrity perfume was Elizabeth Taylor.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the first one. That who sort of really got that industry going sort of thing.
But then I have like celebrity perfumes that I wouldn't go near because I don't know why. I just don't feel like they're classy enough. Like I wouldn't do Britney Spears. I wouldn't do.
And yet she's been extremely successful in her perfumes.
I know. Extremely and I have never even smelt it. So I've been like.
You've been a snob.
Been a snob.
My starting points were all the Estee Lauder perfumes. That's back in my day.
Yeah.
Back in the 80s was all Estee Lauder perfumes. And Estee Lauder, when she developed the perfumes, her perfumes are very, very strong. Like, and her idea is that when you leave the room, your scent stays in the room. So people remember that you've been in that room.
Yeah.
So when you're wearing her perfumes, that's how strong they are, you know, that it has that sort of memory. What also got me really interested is I've got a couple of nephews who are obsessed with scent. And I think Chemist Warehouse in Australia has been the gateway to allow that, because you get the discounted, colognes and perfumes there. And that's become a massive industry for them. And I think it's allowed a lot of like younger people to access it and
enter the market.
Yeah, enter the market. Mm. I think that's the gateway into the market. But I've got a really funny story about it, and I hope they won't mind me sharing it, but nobody knows who they are. One day they were calling down for one of the sons to come downstairs, and it's like, come on, we're going to school, come on, because they work to school. And so the son comes down, and then the other son says to him, are you wearing such and such today? Is that the cologne that you're wearing? And we're in the middle of summer when he asks this question. So he goes, are you wearing such and such cologne? And the other son goes, yes. And he goes, oh, it's so last winter. Oh. Like it was like a crime that he was wearing the wrong scent to go to school at, which I think is just hilarious.
Are they allowed to wear that to school?
Yeah, they wear colognes to school. And they all do. They all do. So after school, you can go into like a Chemist Warehouse, and there's a lot of teenage boys in there trying out all the scents. When you go to Mecca, there's men in Mecca, and so there should be. Well, I'm going to say all sexes in Mecca, I shouldn't just say men, trying out the scents. Because you can go in and try on a $700 scent. Like they've actually got try bottles for all of these different scents. It's not like, oh, this is $700, so you can't try it. They've got the bottle there. You can spray yourself in it if you like and see what you smell like for a day, you know. It just... yeah, it's just fascinating to me. Those same nephews I took to Mecca with me, and I lost them in the perfume department. They spent, I reckon, an hour in there going through all the different perfumes and smells.
That just boggles my mind, because I just cannot imagine a teenage boy doing that.
They love it. And yeah. I love it. I love it that they're exploring that.
And it's funny, Dash, you were saying what your entry point to perfumes was, because for my generation, at least the people that I'm around, those ads are the ads that we probably make fun of the most because it's these really disproportionate, like these really weird kind of artsy ads where it's like, what is the connection here?
Yeah.
So it's funny that seeing that was what kind of enticed you.
But it was seeing it on a magazine, right, which was a still. Whereas in now, when I see the film versions of it, I totally agree with you. You're like, you spend 3 minutes watching some like beautiful woman on horseback with her hair flowing, thinking,
yeah,
where is this going? And then it comes up with the perfume at the end and you're like, oh, okay.
They spend a lot of money on those ads. You know, they get directors like Baz Luthram doing, and people like Nicole Kidman for Chanel, you know, doing ads. Like that's multi-million dollar sort of stuff that tells you how big the industry is, that they can actually support that, you know, to pay for that.
But I'm wondering, Mladen having a particular scent when you were dating is like a core memory for you. Mm. Luke, do you notice how other people smell?
Good question. And the answer is probably no, I don't.
I've often wondered from a boy's perspective.
To reiterate as well, though, Dash, I would say that I was on the tail end of Lynx.
Oh, yeah.
And it definitely in high school, like, yeah, and that's a funny shift as well, where I feel like it's a bit more about quality now as opposed to anything, because back then, Lynx never smelled good.
No.
Like, it was always clearly, like, just, it was just, like, I don't know why people were doing it, but you'd see, like, people in my high school, like, if they were out playing sport or they had done sport prior to school, coming to their locker and spraying it on themselves, and you're like, whoa, that guy's cool. He's like athletic. He does stuff. Just in terms of, and you might be able to add to this fee as well, I'm probably at the moment in workplaces where you probably wouldn't want to be smelling too strong just because of how it could impact other people, and you're wanting to be conscious of that, going back to the fact that smell can be such a strong cue. So it's definitely not something, at least in the workplaces that I'm in now, that people are really putting a lot of effort into, I guess.
Mm.
I can't wear perfume in the workplace. So because it's, you got to be careful that you don't have a reaction from, you know, the patient that you're treating and things like that, because people can be allergic to different smells. So even with your deodorant, you've got to be very careful about what sort of you've got to wear deodorant, because the patient's head is around your midriff.
Yeah.
But making sure it's not a strong smell or anything. Like, I wear a baby powder type of deodorant that just has a very low smell to it, just to make sure I don't smell, but also not to sort of produce a scent into the room or anything like that. I always notice it when a client comes in, they've got a lot of perfume on, like it's quite noticeable, but maybe they're trying to hide our all our antiseptic smells, you know, and all that. We've got enough smells as it is going on in the room without that sort of smell too, with us, you know, myself or my nurse. But none of us wear perfumes, none of us at all. It'd be interesting as a psychologist having perfumes, because that would evoke memories in people, certain smells, like really strong memories.
Yeah, and again, I've never heard that there's lots of where using scents can be a really powerful therapeutic technique when you're trying to evoke certain experiences and whatnot. But you definitely wouldn't want to be just putting any kind of strong scent in your room just in case.
Yeah. Because the other thing that goes hand in hand with the perfume industry is the diffusion industry. And that, like every perfume, just about had a diffusion set with it as well, where you can buy the oil and the sticks and everything else and have it, you know, as a perfume in the room and in your home. But I read a thing recently and it said that a lot of and candle as well. Yeah. Every perfume had a candle. But I read a thing recently about candles and diffusers, and you have to be really careful what you're putting into your environment, as in like not good substances into the environment. It might not be good for you to have that in the home if you don't know what the ingredients are and things like that, to be very careful with what you're buying. But it's expensive. Like the candles are like $85 or $110.
I love candles. I love having candles burning.
Do you have particular scents that you love with those?
I remember when I was in the US, it was around Christmas time, and I went to Anthropology and they had a beautiful candle section, and it had a particular Christmas smell.
Ah, yeah.
And so I really loved that one. But I was also going to say, like, it's also the hand sanitizer and the moisturizer scents.
Yeah.
So you were talking about Aesop. I use a lot of Aesop hand creams.
Yes.
And that can sometimes overpower even the perfume I'm wearing. And people will smell my hand cream over the perfume I'm wearing and be like, I love that smell.
And it's your hand cream.
And it's my hand cream.
Wow. Okay.
That's my next big question for you guys, because in terms of the cologne that I wear, the reason I'm rationing it was because I had absolutely no idea how expensive cologne was.
Yeah.
Mm.
I actually anticipated, okay, this is probably an $80 bottle. If it lasts me 3 years, that's cool. That's an okay investment because I do like the scent.
Mm.
Looked it up. I think it was $250.
Yeah.
Could not believe it. And as someone that, you know, I don't really spend too much money on things other than I'd say like books and probably video games, I'm doing like the comparison of that and I'm like, whoa, like imagine how many books I could get for this scent instead. And that's not to undermine obviously the art and the quality and, you know, the entire thing that comes with perfumes, but how much money would you guys spend realistically if you were happy on a perfume?
Not a lot. I always buy the mini versions, to be honest, and a lot of the big fragrance houses do a mini version because I wear it so rarely. Probably the most expensive perfume I've ever bought was by a fashion brand called National 21. And I was in Bendigo and I was walking through the shop and someone else was trialing the perfumes and I smelt it and immediately I thought, that's my scent. Like I just loved it so much. And then I went up to the lady and I just said, which one was that that you just sprayed? And this is really unusual for me. Like I can't explain how unusual it is for me to really buy a perfume. And she said, oh, it was this one. So I sprayed it again. And I thought, oh my God, I don't know what memory it was giving me, but that cost me I think it was under $100, like $85 or something, but that's sort of my limit.
Cause I think, J'adore it was about 180 when I was buying it, but that's why we would buy it duty free, because you'd get like 30% off or something. Okay. Like, so we'd do it when we were traveling and it was only very special occasions. Like I'd get it for my birthday or something like that. Otherwise I do buy stuff from Chemist Warehouse. Yeah. And then I did treat myself to, what's the scent I'm wearing? Mademoiselle.
Mademoiselle, yeah.
By Chanel.
Yeah.
I think that was $250 and that's probably the most I've gone. But again, it was like I'm using that only for special occasions. Like I had quite a few like weddings I was going to or like events where it's kind of interesting talking about your industries where that is not allowed. But sometimes like when you are doing presentations or you're at conferences or you're doing, I don't know, meeting collaborators for the first time, it's like you know everyone's wearing a scent. Like it's an important, like where the way people dress up for that kind of stuff. So that's when I'd wear that. But otherwise it's CK1 from Chemist Warehouse, which is just a benign smell. Like it's, I feel like it's quite a neutral smell to me now.
So what makes you wear a perfume?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Yeah. What do you guys look for?
Why do you put one on?
Well, if I'm just at home, I wouldn't wear it.
Yeah.
But if I'm going out or if I'm going to work, I'd wear it. I think it's just an extra level of elevation. Like you were saying with jewellery, and it's part of your aesthetic. And it's like how you look, how you make people feel, and how you smell.
How about you, Luke? What makes you put cologne on?
That's a really good question. I actually think it's more just habitual than for any other purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's reminded me, not to defer from this question, because I think the answer is probably... like, yeah, when you're trying to evoke a certain emotion from people, what do you guys look for in a scent? Because I wouldn't say I'm very cultured to selecting different scents. And going back to, again, that friend who gifted me the cologne, I was fully just smelling these colognes thinking, oh, I like that one. That's the one I'm going to go for. I think it was actually my friend that gently was like, yeah, that smells nice, but is it you? And I think that's a really interesting distinction where there does have to be some sort of, it's not that you can't wear any perfume you want, but there's almost like there's certain ones that you should be wearing and maybe ones that aren't actually congruent to you. Is that what you guys think about?
Well, perfume can smell different on different people as well, depending on your body odor type and your diet and things like that. So you can smell the same perfume on two different people, but it smells a little bit different because of their own body smells migrating with it.
But I think it was like what I was saying when I was wearing that perfume as a young kid. It was too old for me. I didn't pick it. And it was very sweet and florally. Like I don't tend to love the sweet and florally ones. I like clean smells, or I like smells that, I don't know, I actually don't like when I smell it, I know I like it. And then there's a heap that I'm just like, whoa, no.
I think too, scents go through fashion cycles,
yeah,
like everything does. Like you've got, like you said, your sweets, you've got your florals. At the moment, smoke and fireplace are really popular scents, and the earthy scents,
yeah,
the ones that smell like, you know, I love how some of the labels on some of the perfumes, because as I said, I spent a lot of time in this perfumery and, you know, things like freshly cut grass and Sunday afternoon nap and fireplace and, you know, it jazz bar, you know, it's meant to evoke a sensation as well. And so as we were smelling them, we're like, oh yeah, that does smell like a day on the beach, you know, like it was really lovely.
Yeah.
To associate that with it as well. But I believe that I reckon you can tell the best sellers, like, and this is why I'm saying it's all the smoky smells at the moment, is the ones that are, so say they've got 10 different smells, right? But the ones that are really popular, they do slightly smaller versions too, so someone can come into the market. So they can, you know, they can't afford the $145 bottle, but they can afford the $40 bottle. And so there was a couple of scents that they have that, and they were the ones that were like the, like you said, that really fresh smell, and they were the smoky smells. They were the ones I was noticing yesterday that were the obviously the big sellers.
Next time in Melbourne, Luke, you need to check out Mecca then.
Oh, because if you wanted to, they've got these new, I've never seen anything like it. They've got these big snake-like things that come out of a table and they have all the perfumes. And what happens is you press which one you want to smell, you put your face up next to it and it gives you the scent. Wow. And so you go through a whole lot of scents to develop your perfect scent and which areas you should be looking at for scents. It was incredible. It's just incredible. Your scent profile.
What I'll say is, if you guys ever get a chance to go to Aesop, the one that I have is called Cast.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And just to answer the question that was asked me before, because I've actually got my answer now, it is definitely evoking an emotion, and it's part of that new kind of earthy, as you said, trend, I think. Like, it's a little bit more subtle. It's a little bit sweet, but it's really, I think, got like, yeah, that kind of earthy, naturey kind of scent. And I guess the reason I would wear it is to try and evoke the idea of being a little bit more down to earth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
More mm-hmm. relaxed,
mm-hmm.
trying to have that fit with, I guess, yeah, my personality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I only wear perfume when I'm getting dressed up fancy. And it's like a last minute thing. And in front of the bathroom mirror brushing my hair, and I think, oh, I'm getting dressed up. I'll give myself a sprig of perfume. That's the only time I ever wear it. So it's very rare. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas I probably would wear it more often than that.
And then it gets into your clothes anyway. So, you know, it does get into your clothes, those smells. And in your car and your seatbelts and your everything else that goes with it.
100%. 100%.
Hi, Fiona here. Thanks for taking the time to listen to the XYZ Experiment podcast. And don't forget to leave a rating and review. If you enjoyed our show, tell all your friends and family and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at the XYZ Experiment for all the latest updates and news. Our original music was composed and performed by Luke Champion.